Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in now, Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about the double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and the fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
It ain't shit,
motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 126, UFC Vegas 25, down in the history books. And man, that was a great fight card. Even though I didn't get to watch all the fights, I had a lot of family members out here visiting from New York and Pennsylvania. They came out to see what Las Vegas was all about. I had to be the host, and I had to make sure I showed these guys a good time. Obviously, I'm recovering from my neck surgery, so I couldn't even corner my guy Marab, which I really, really wanted to do. But I was able to watch in spirit, and I got the whole gang to watch and tune in. And it was a great fight card, and just super pumped about everything right now. I actually just got this shirt in the mail. I switched over to a new website, Athlete Studio, something like that. And so far, so good with the quality. So I got a bunch of stuff I want to test out, make sure the quality is holding up. But let's get into it. Man, like I said, I had a family out here. We went to Stadium Swim. We did a couple of other crazy stuff. It was kind of a what we'd call a shit show. Mas por favor. Shots all day at the house. I see the comments are coming in right now. Yeah, so it's been a crazy, crazy week, and this week is going to be huge for detox. I made sure that I did PT every single day, make sure I took my electrolytes, make sure I took my supplements that the UFC PI gave me to make sure I'm still healing up and not setting myself back. So got crazy, detox with the water and everything, and make sure my electrolyte intake was up, and just doing the best that I can, keeping up with my PT. So today I got PT coming up at 3 p.m. It's 1:48 right here in Vegas right now. So like I said, man, this is a serious injury, and I just want to make sure I'm taking it as serious as possible. Obviously, it's nice to have family over visiting from so far away, and I want to make sure I show them a good time. And damn, we had a good time. We had a very, very good time. Yes, Marab is a very great wrestler. So let's get it started, man. The first fight, obviously, the main event. Jiří, I can't even say this guy's last name. If anyone could do like a, what do you call it? I don't want to say homophone or the enunciation in the chat. That'd be greatly appreciated. I'm just going to call him Jiří, though. That was a great fight. And my friends were asking me, like, who should I bet on for this one? I said, I like Dominic Reyes for the sense that he's been around the block. He's fought the who's who's. No, I don't want to say the who's who's. He's fought the best guys in the division so far. Came up short against John Jones. That was like the biggest thing about him. He should have won the belt. A lot of people thought he won the fight. I did rewatch the fight, and I did have to say, like, I can see why people think he won the fight. And it just depends on how you score. I'm not saying John won. Not saying John lost. I'm on the fence. But I picked Reyes because I just thought he was more technically sound than a guy like Jiří from his UFC debut. The guy just seemed like a freaking wild man when he fought Volkan Ozdemir. Came to the UFC from Rizin and just been putting guys away. And he's exciting. What else could you ask for in a guy like this, right? So I'm happy about his performance. If you ask me to bet on a guy like this, this is a fight I would never bet on because the guy is not the most technical, but he's efficient. He has cardio for days, and he has a great chin. So he can take a good shot as well as he can dish it. And a guy like that is dangerous because from all positions, he can fire on all cylinders, those unorthodox strikes, and he's throwing strikes from down by his waist. I always feel like the hardest shots, or the hardest ones to defend, or the hardest shots to see, are the ones that come from underneath, like uppercuts and things like that, especially if they're clean. But when a guy's got his hands down all the time and he's throwing jabs like that up jab or throwing crosses from down by his waist, they're very hard to see. Yeah, your defenses might be lacking a little bit. He did eat a couple of big shots. Waldo, I don't think I'm giving you a kiss, but I could find somebody for you. But when you're taking shots like that, shots that you don't see coming from unorthodox angles, if you're not prepared for it, you don't get to see that often. It's like an orthodox fighter fighting a southpaw fighter. Southpaw guys always fight orthodox guys, so it's normal for them. So when an orthodox guy has to fight a southpaw for the first time, it's not the most comfortable thing because it's hard to find quality southpaws especially guys that can mimic your opponent. And a guy like this, man, fun to watch, super dangerous, hits hard. And like I said, he has a granite chin because Dominic was hitting him with some big shots. So if you ask me, I was like, this is one I'll stay away from because it's a coin flip. I think Reyes can get it done. But at the same time, you can't count out a guy who's such a wild card like Jiri, who comes out and just, he's just a showstopper, man. You see how this guy fights. You see how he performs. He brings it every single time. And when I was watching at Blondie's with the crew, there was like a Czech Republican table. So when I took the mask off, I started to get recognized a lot more, which it was cool, obviously. But sometimes I get a little weird about it because I don't know what side of the fence people are on. Like, either they like me or they don't like me because they think I'm an actor all of a sudden. You know, they thought I just acted my way to a title shot, which doesn't happen, you know. But whatever. So I wasn't sure what the vibes were, but they were very, very cool. And I made sure we had the gang on lock so that just in case, you know, we got to throw down, I got to protect my neck. And like, I'll disappear, go to the back somewhere. But yeah, they were rooting for Jiri, and it was a good night for them. Those guys were going nuts, and they celebrated a ton. What's up with the Dillashaw card? I don't know, man. It seems like they're going to have Watterson and Rodriguez become the new main event, which not the best in my opinion. The surgery was giving him difficulties. He does train alongside Marab. They are all a large team. He was going to corner him because the surgery was... Yeah. So yeah, pretty much the surgery, I couldn't corner because of that. So now the co-main event, another Georgian fella, Giga Chikadze, I think I pronounced that correctly. Fantastic. The guy has been looking for that ever so elusive finish in the UFC, finally gets it done. I'm not sure if he got one in the last fight. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to check the stats so I don't put my foot in my mouth. Oh, yeah, Jamie Simmons, he got a finish in that one. So now he got a second finish in a row. And finishing a guy like Cub Swanson, no easy task. Cub Swanson has been in there with the best guys in the world. He's still beating these young and up-and-coming guys. And I thought this fight would be neck and neck. And then Giga comes out with the Giga kick. And that's what he's known for. He puts guys down with that liver shot. Now, the one thing I will say about this kick, when I'm watching it real time, obviously I'm a little hammered, but I went back and I watched it again. It looks like that left body kick is coming to the head because he stands out wide. He steps and he's coming out wide. Looks like he's coming to the head. And then at the last second, he turns it in. And it looks like only just the toes, that like that front part of the foot, mainly the toes, got inside and stabbed Swanson right under his elbow because he went to check the kick for the head kick. And he left his elbow exposed and allowed that foot to get inside underneath that window and put him down. And man, he put him down and the fight only lasted like a minute. So good job for Giga Chikadze. There's not much you can say about a performance like that. Super spot on, super clean. And again, against a tough veteran, like a guy like Cub Swanson, the sky's the limit for this guy. So I'm very, very interested to see what's going to happen for him next. I do think a fight with Yair Rodriguez, if they're not going to make the Zabit Mauro Sharapov fight with Yair Rodriguez, the ninja fight, then make another ninja fight with Giga versus Yair Rodriguez. I think that would be a fun fight. And it'd be a great way for Giga to try to cut the line, get a huge marquee win, and be the first maybe Georgian guy to fight for a world title, which would be huge for their country, you know? So it's pretty cool to see how far he's come from the kickboxing game, coming over to MMA. He lost in the contender series with a rear naked choke, came back, and look where he is now. He's on a 6-fight win streak in the UFC, which is not easy. It's not easy to do. You can say whatever you want about the competition, but to keep that streak going, the UFC has been slowly grooming him. And I think now they're going to have to give him some stiffer competition in terms of the upper echelon of that division. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to be next for him. Beanie Coat, where you at? I don't know what that means. What motivates me to stay consistent with the podcast is I love talking about fights, man. I think watching the fights gives me an insight to breaking down techniques and understanding it a little bit deeper than the average person or even the average fighter. When I was wrestling, I started wrestling in 10th grade, guys. So in case you didn't know that, 10th grade in high school, and I picked it up like that, made it to the county finals. I was ranked in the state. I lost in the finals, though, to qualify for states. To a guy that I beat twice during the season. He did beat me in the offseason, and then I beat him twice during the season. He beat me in the one that mattered the most, to go to states. He ended up making it to the semifinals. Long story short, he placed. He became a D1 All-American, and I learned from just being a coach and being a student of the game, when I get to watch matches, break it down, see what guys are doing, it's helped elevate my game so much faster. And when you teach it, you understand it a little bit better, because now you're like, huh, Now I understand why this position works. I'm not just listening to somebody. I'm also the teacher and breaking it down. So I have to be honest about the analysis of why this works and why this doesn't work. And the same reason why I teach MMA class back in Long Island. I love teaching MMA wrestling because I understand the wrestling mechanics for MMA. And that's what's the fascinating thing about the fight with Petey Yan, because I like to think I am one of the more well-rounded or one of the better wrestlers in the cage grappling scenarios. And in that fight with all the sliding, it was so weird because it felt like everything that I knew kind of went out the window. And I even gave Marab the heads up. And then we went to the PI, he kind of got an idea of what I was saying and got to feel it, because him and the other guys were like, bro, it's super slick in here. I was like, yeah, this is just a UFC PI. Wait till you get to the UFC octagon. You're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're really watching the fights, you can see where people are losing their footing a lot more than usual. And not to go off on a complete tangent on this, but I think me giving that little tidbit for him, and I said the same thing to Weidman, it's like, just be careful when you got a guy pressed against the cage. Don't keep your legs too far away from your body, because the further away from your body, the more you're going to lean and the more your feet get away from you, because you're going to start to slide. It's like stepping on oil. You're going to start to slide. Now, if you keep your feet closer, it's going to be easier to keep the control and keep your body weight on your opponent, where for me, normally, I lean my feet all the way out so I could drive my shoulder all the way through your abdomen and suck the air and the energy out of you. The same thing Marab and I both do to each other when we're sparring. Same thing we do to our other teammates. Same thing I do in my fights. If you take a look back at it, you see all those things. That those are little tips and tricks of the trade that I learned over the years. Yes. Everything's a little bit different, but I do appreciate teaching the same way, like I said, about the podcast. I get to learn a ton. Like, I get to watch a guy like Jiri, and I can't be like, that style doesn't work, because the guy is beating the best guys in the world doing it. I mean, he just beat Dominic Reyes, who just fought for a world title twice, and he looked damn impressive. And for him now, I think after Glover Teixeira, I think Jiri's got to be next, and I think that's huge for the country of Czech Republic. That's going to be an astronomical fight, I think. But yeah, so now let's get back to the next one. Marlon Reyes has to come back, has back-to-back losses. Aljo's champ, they probably aren't going to fight soon. Yeah, I think we might see Marlon versus Marab. That would be a good fight. And I think if Marlon doesn't do good in the first round, good luck, because he's just going to get that battery drained. Who we got next? I don't want to go too crazy, man. I just want to give you guys the goods, the fights that I actually got to watch. And obviously, let's go to the next one, because I got a good one coming up. Obviously, everyone now sees my wife as a actress, supporting actress, as they called her. We're going to get to that. But this next one for me, Marab, Dvalishvili, huge fight, huge win over a guy like Cody Stamann. That ain't easy. Cody Stamann fought some of the best guys in this division. He's looked good. He's had some up and down results. But overall, he's been one of those mainstays in that top 10, top 15 for quite some time now. And for Marab to go out there and do what he did in such a dominant fashion, you can make the argument that he dropped the third round. But I still think he did more damage in that third round than Cody Stamann did, even off of his back, going for the takedowns, being the aggressor. Cody got on top. But what we talked about in the training camp was, like, even if Cody gets you down, he doesn't do anything. He takes you down, and he's just more so looking to grind out the position. And that's not how you win a fight. You want to win a fight, you make a guy like that who's good at control, kind of like a GSPS, but don't give him an opportunity to rest. You beat the crap out of him in any type of position where he thinks he's going to just lay there and get a free riding time, you know? So no, this is not a knock on GSP. GSP beat guys up with some ground and pound, and he beat them up with control time. So 4 minutes of ground and pound and control time, that's big. Where Cody Stamann's taking you down, he's not really doing all that much, you know? So he did have that one close attack with that flying knee when Marab was stepping in, and I think in that second round. But good thing Marab was able to move out of the way and not get clipped by that, you know, because that could have been bad. But look great, man. Look calculated. He was hitting some clean right hands. And when we were training, I was mainly watching. I was just telling him, I was like, look at these fights, man. When we're watching the fights on the couch, I'm like, everything he's getting hit with is straight down the middle. When you start throwing loopy punches, that's when Stamann starts to do a little bit better. But when you come straight down the middle, you'll tag him every single time. It's like his head, his defense allows for straight punches and his reaction time, where he's just kind of like pawing like this. And every time he's paused, like almost like he's trying to slip the punch and get underneath, which is why the straight punches tend to mess him up a little bit. As long as you don't overcommit and overextend where he can get underneath, you keep him at the end of your punches, you can catch him every single time. And that's pretty much what I was telling him about this fight. Like I said, great fight, great body work when he was going to the body with those punches. And when he took him down, I know there was a couple takedown attempts Merab missed, but that's mainly because of how strong Cody Stamann is. Like I said, the guy is a bull. He's been around for a good while for a good reason. He's tough. He's talented. And for a guy like Merab to get a win like this, it just further pushes his envelope further into that top 10 and next coming up that next top 5. And I know for all you people who keep asking, no, I am not going to fight Merab. That is my as close to a brother as it gets. The guy comes here, he fixes my door that was falling off. Like you press the button to open the door and it's like falling off. And I keep saying, yeah, I'm going to go to Home Depot. I'm going to fix it. Weeks, months. And then Merab comes here. He's like, hey, I'm in Vegas now. Al sends me a picture. Merab doesn't even say anything. Al sends me the picture. I Quinta is like, yo, this guy's the best. I'm like, holy shit, this guy really is the best. He's just such a nice guy. There's no one that can ever say a bad thing about the guy because he's just too nice of a guy. He's helped me with my house, helped me put up my curtains and stuff. We train together. He helps me when I'm in training camp. I help him when he's in training camp. And I think that's the thing that we have is just iron sharpens iron. I kind of compare us to like a Cain Velasquez and DC, Daniel Cormier. I just think we have that relationship where I'm having a birthday party. He's coming over. He did just get a house. I didn't get to go to the house yet because of the whole COVID thing, but I'm hoping I get to get the tour over there and I want to get him something. I know he sometimes listens to my podcast. So I do want to get him something like a housewarming gift. I haven't been able to get him anything because he never takes anything. I told him he can stay at my house for free. The guy sends me money anyway. I'm just like, yo, bro, you don't listen. And that's just him. It just speaks volumes to the type of person that he is. And I can never do that. I think if we were to ever fight, I can never look at him the same and we can never have the same relationship. So it's not even a question. And I just feel like some people have bigger appreciation for some other stuff that is just not for me. Obviously I'm already here. So it might be like, oh, well, you're saying that cause you're already there. I'm like, yeah, obviously. But at the same time, it's like, if he was in the same position, I would just fight who I have to fight. And until whatever happens, then we go about it like that. But there's no reason for me. There's so many other guys for me to fight. I don't need to fight Merab at all. You know? So, that's what I'm happy about. And, he's a good dude, man. I love that guy. Like I said, I love the guy. He works hard and there's nobody better. And his story is fascinating because when he started in the UFC, let me give you guys a rundown about Merab. When he started his MMA career, he won 2 amateur fights. When he came to New York or the States, he lost to Darren Maima, his pro debut. He won his second fight. He lost to Ricky Bendejas in his 1-2, his third fight, pro fight. Then he was thinking about retiring. The guy stopped coming down to the gym when he lost and just thought maybe this sport wasn't for him. And it goes to show you, if you stay the course, you put in the proper time and you listen to your team and your coaches or people that you really do feel have your best interests at heart, which we all did, good things can happen for you. And then from there, he rattled off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins, beating Rufian Stotts in Ring of Combat, knocking him out in like 15 seconds in round 1 while Dana White is there, gets the UFC contract, makes his debut. Obviously, we both fought that night, and it wasn't a good night for both of us. When he fought Frankie Saenz, he had the flu. I got knocked out. Not a good trip to Fresno. So, whatever. But it just goes to show you, like, look what this guy has been able to do of late. It's nothing short of impressive and nothing short of amazing. And I think it goes and speaks volumes of the type of workhorse that he is and the type of gym and team that we have, like how hard we all push each other just to get better, you know? And this guy, he's a little bit different than I am. He will spar 3-4 days in a row, which I do not do. But he's just like, yeah, fuck it, bro. Fuck it. Yeah, let's go. Let's maybe move around light. And then you said light. Next thing you know, these guys are bombing on each other. So he's a very funny dude. But again, congrats to him on the win. And like I said, I can't say enough nice things about the guy. And I really do look forward to the next one. And we were just talking last night. just saying like, yo, man, when I'm better, hopefully July, I can maybe make a trip out to Georgia. I told my fiance today, is like, it'd be nice to go out there for like a week. Obviously you make that long of a trip, it'd be nice to stay a little bit longer, at least 2 weeks, but whatever, go there for a week, hang out, enjoy the Georgian culture. And then I can get ready to start training with him and he could help me for my training camp and I can help him for his training camp if he doesn't have a fight sooner while my neck clears up, even if I could just drill, you know, so that would be nice for the two of us. Yeah. So that's pretty much all I want to say about that. Now let's get into the good stuff. Luana Pinheiro versus Ronda Marcos. Now I see you guys questions coming in, but I'm kind of reading this, but it's kind of hard to read this. Yes, he is such a good dude. Amid, did Marab get robbed in the UFC by decision? Yeah, he got robbed by Ricky Simone with that. That was a BS. He had a stinger in his neck and he wasn't out. They said he was out. He wasn't out. And then the other one was the Frankie Sines split decision, which he took the guy down like 20 times in one fight, which I don't understand how you can lose a fight like that. He got cut with an elbow. But other than that, the guy was on he had the flu and still fought his ass off and looked like that. So I thought he won the fight. We all thought he won the fight. It is what it is. Now, spinning back fist. rooting for you against Peter. You just need to diversify your wrestling to open your ground game up. Honestly, man, I know what I did wrong in that fight. And going forward, I know what adjustments I need to make. And I know I need to eat on the day of the fight and not go through a severe fasting like I did, eating 2 waffles and 2 eggs going into a world title fight and not from 10:30 a.m. to 8:30 at night, eating 2 waffles and 2 eggs for a title fight. That's all I ate. That's legit all I ate. People can say it's an excuse, but it's the truth. And yeah, it is somewhat of an excuse, but I own it. It's an excuse that's like, hey, man, he was starting to get the better of me. I said this 1,000 times, but I still think I am better than him. And that was my worst day. If he could only do that on my worst day, dude, when I'm on a good day and I'm firing on all cylinders, like my last 5 fights before that, dude, come on. Come on. I like my chances. That's pretty much all I can say about that. Now let's get into this. What's this girl name? Luana. So here's my thing about this. She was winning the fight from beginning of the bell all the way up until the foul. Ronda Marcos comes out with a post saying that hashtag easy way out, hashtag bitch something. I don't know. It was kind of silly. I find it interesting because it's not like my fight where you could be like, oh, well, you're getting your ass kicked, so you were looking for the easy way out. You can say that. That's fair for you people to say. Is it the truth? No. I wanted to fight. That's a whole nother story. I asked the ref, how much time do I have left? I laid down so I could try to recover because if I sat up or tried to stand up, I would have had the spins, which I had even when I was on my knees. I was like, yo, bro, let me just lay here and relax, clear my head, and hopefully I can use up this entire 5 minutes and maybe they could keep the doctor in and give me a little bit of extra time so I could finish out this fight. Didn't happen. They called the fight, whatever. People call that acting. I don't know how that's acting when I'm asking to continue to fight. But it is what it is. That's neither here or there. Now, for this fight, the girl was winning from the beginning of the fight till the end where that illegal low blow came. I don't want to call it a low blow, but that illegal shot came. She took a clean foot to the face. It wasn't the heel, but she took a foot to the face that she did not see. And again, the shots we don't see are the ones that typically do the most damage. And you can say what you want to say, but until you actually get in there and feel those shots where you're like, okay, I'm good in this position. I could do the damage. She could punch me, but she can't kick me. She can't knee me. You're like, all right, I'm good. Next thing you know, you just get back out. It's like Rush Hour. It's like, which one of y'all just hit me? You know, it's one of those, you know? So it's off guard. It's unexpected. And it does damage. Now, I agree with Paul Felder. When she got kicked, it kind of looked like she was like in shock and then she fell back and it almost looked like she controlled her fall back. But then when she was laying there, you're kind of like, maybe that was worse than what it might have looked like. It looked like it was hard, but we don't know how hard. It looked like I said, it looked like it was the foot that caught her, not the heel. If it's the heel, that is one of the hardest, if not the hardest bone in the human body. If it was the heel of the foot, I'd be like, yeah, man, that rocked her bad. But clearly, she got messed up from this. Same thing with like the Jeremy Stevens, Jakar Klaus People are talking about that, saying the guy's faking. Imagine what a punch would do. The guy's dehydrated at the weigh-ins. His hands are behind his back. He's relaxing, not expecting to be touched. And this guy gets shoved so hard that his head, entire neck pushes him back. His entire neck snaps forward. He gets a cervical spine sprain, which starts to give him numbing and tingling, which is what I've been dealing with for years. And people are saying he's faking. I don't even understand. I really don't understand what people even want anymore from fighters. I think people start to forget that we are still people and things actually hurt. We're just tough enough that we can get through a training camp, we can get into the fight and have a fist fight where it's agreed upon. Both fighters are in shape and we're going to get after it and go get some. We're not people just waking up, getting into a bar fight drunk and it's like, yo, now I got beer muscles. We're tough. Why do we need to fake anything? We don't. Now, I can see people when someone is like, yeah, man, I'm tired. I just want to take this break. I want to bow out. The fight didn't even start with Klaus. He wants to fight. You got this one. The girl's winning. She's dominating. Not even just winning. She's dominating. She's throwing Ronda around. Like, I can't even say that was like slipping because it was straight up her grabbing her and tossing her around. So it's like, nah, you're one-sidedly getting your ass kicked. And I'm sure Ronda's a nice person. I'm not talking shit about her, but it just comes off a little strange when you're saying someone is like faking or trying to play it up and sell it up and saying that the foot grazed her. I mean, we all saw it. You know how hard you kicked up. You were pushing that. You did the bitch get off me kick. The bitch get off me. Get off me. It's like you're in a street fight and you're just trying to survive and you're just kicking. Wildly, aimlessly kicking. And that's what she did. It caught her in the face. I don't know how hard that was. It's a foot, it's a leg, they're both grounded. It could have done a lot more damage than we all know. I'm not Luana. I don't take anything away from her. She was dominating the fight. And like I said, if you want to come at me and say like, oh, you were looking for a way out, you were exhausted. I was exhausted, but I still wanted to fight, but you can say whatever you want. But in a situation like mine, that makes more sense. And that guy like Romanov, that makes more sense. But in a situation like this, no, she was winning the fight. So it's just very weird. And I know Ariel Helwani said something about Paul Felder. He was glad he spoke some honesty and whatnot. Again, we don't know what the fighters are feeling. And Felder could say whatever he wants. And I like Felder too. I don't care what anybody says. You're not the person in there. And you're not the one who's got their guard down and relaxing. You don't know what she was doing. She could have probably just been holding the foot and just chilling, taking a deep breath, relaxing, let everything calm down. Then boom, just get whacked in the face. You're not tensed up. You're not expecting it. And this comes out of nowhere and you get blindsided. It's like getting hit in the back of the head, except this is right to the face. And she was probably not looking and then got cracked. So it is what it is, man. I feel bad for her. She knew it was only one round and she was getting her ass kicked. Like I said, I mean, it doesn't get any clear cut than that. I'm like, I don't think she needs a way out. She's kicking your ass the entire time. I don't know. But that's just my take on that. The first time I ever heard a fighter didn't perform good because he didn't eat breakfast. Yeah, man. And it's not that I didn't eat breakfast. I ate two pancakes and I ate two eggs. And it's only because the UFC PI, normally for the Sanhagen fight and every other fight before that, they allowed us to leave during COVID. And all my other fights, we were allowed to leave and go get a breakfast where I do a feast with everybody. And I can't believe I'm talking about this again. You guys won't stop. But I do a feast with everybody, and then I normally don't eat until after the fight. If anything, I just have water or body armors or stuff like that, Gatorades, to kind of keep the sugar uptake levels, but I don't eat a full meal. So I thought that was enough, and I felt like shit from about 3 p.m. all the way, because I did four rounds for my morning shakeout, and I was lighting all my training partners up, and I felt strong. I felt good. I was like, dude, this guy is not going to be able to touch me. And then sure enough, I didn't know why I was feeling like that, lethargic, and then get into the back room. I didn't want to tell Ray and whatever. That's neither here or there. We're going to get a chance to do it again, and all is going to be right in the world, and that's all that matters. And then I can shut everybody up, and I could be super petty, because I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. All right, so I don't know if you guys have any other questions you want to ask me before we wrap this up. We got a big one coming up this weekend. Actually, it's not really a big one. The main event was the big one, and now that one's gone. There's a couple fun fights on that card that I was looking at. If I can remember. Yes. Neil Magny versus Jeff Neal. That should be a banger. Amanda Ribas versus Angela Hill. That should be fun. This one I'm really looking forward to. Diego Ferreira versus Gregor Gillespie. This should be a good one. Gregor Gillespie finally coming back. The other fight he had got canceled. I forgot who he was supposed to fight. Brad Riddle. Now he's fighting Diego Ferreira, which is a big step up in terms of name value and whatever. And the guy who's been around, who had a really good fight, back and forth fight with Benil Dariush, who's also taking on Tony Ferguson, I think next weekend. Not this weekend, next weekend. Mike Trezano versus Ludovic Klein. That should be a banger because that Klein guy, he brings it. He brings some heat. So I really like that guy. I got my eyes on that one. Not my weight class. I just got my eyes on that one because I think this is going to be a very interesting fight. And we got Ryan Benoit versus Zaru, who trains out in New York. This should be a fun fight, banger. And Phil Halls, who's heavy hitter, taking on Kyle Daukaus, former Cage Fury fighter. That should be a fun one as well. And Cage Fury guys have been doing pretty well, I might say. But we're not going to go into a crazy in-depth detail about this. But if you guys have any fan questions, I definitely want to make sure I take these in so I get to chop it up with you guys. Neil versus Neil. I like Magny in that one. He does pretty good at negating power with his length and his range, his cardio, his pace. I think he could just negate that and see what happens. Aljo Talk, legendary self-awareness coach. Oh, man. Josh Fabio. Wow. Who is that guy? Diego, get away, please. I love you, Diego. You are the man, but get away from that guy. That guy might be saying he has your best interest, but, man, that guy has been nothing but a headache from what I've been seeing on social media. I understand what he's trying to do, but he's going about it so wrong. And it comes off as standoffish and, like, trying to be a bully when you're just like 5'3" guy. Like, bro, who are you talking to? Who are you talking to like this? Like, relax. Like, who are you? What have you done? And why are you tainting this man's legacy by attaching yourself to him? Like I said, he could do it in a more tasteful way. And it's like, hey, man, just be more polite. Like, hey, guys, if you can, please, you know, if you can mention some blah, 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 whatever about Diego, this would be really cool. You know, he's very excited for this fight. He's super motivated. Boom, done. All this other stuff, and it's like lecturing people. Bro, you got to stop, bro. You have to chill. You have to chill. I think the rematch with myself and Jan is going to be great. I cannot wait for that. I was surprised by Jan's takedown defense slightly. But again, man, I really do wholeheartedly. I've taken down bigger guys. I've taken down some of these Dagestani. You know, and I'm not trying to make it like that, but it's like, dude, it wasn't the defense more so than my acknowledgement of the cage and how I felt on fight day. And so it's like, I don't want to take it away from him. Like I said, it's solid, but it's not the best defense I've gone with. And his defense, when I'm slipping and falling over, when I'm stepping over the leg, that never happens in training. And it happens in a fight like that. Come on. Who threw that banana peel in there? Get that out of here. Conor Khabib, I don't think they're ever fighting again. So that's not even a real question. Aljo, how did you win the Oscar? I won it by being a badass. I could teach you. What do you think about this, though? UFC saying Diego's like mental stuff. I don't know, man. Inconclusive. Diego's a little out there. We all seen that with the alkaline water, which is a valuable thing. Alkaline water is valuable, and there's some truth behind it. But the way he goes about it, it makes him look like he's out there. We don't know if he's really crazy. I don't know if he's really crazy. I don't know if he's really loony or has a few screws loose. But this sport of MMA brings a lot of weird people. I'm weird in my own way. I laugh at my own jokes literally all the time. Everyone, this sport is about bringing the wacky to your TV screen, you know? So I don't know if the guy really has any mental health issues, but I think he's okay. We'll see. Twitter Thug, that's a good name. I like that. I don't know if you're saying I should be Twitter Thug. You fought clumsy. Yeah, I fought very, very clumsy. I do take fault for, I felt like if I don't get up in the scorecards early, knowing how tired I was like, it's going to be a slow, close fight, and I'm probably going to get more of a beating than I need to. And that was my thought process going in. I was like, I got to do what I got to do. The ships have sailed. I can't go back and ask for a meal 5 hours ago to get ready for the fight. It is what it is. And when I watched the fight, I'm like, I could have not spun right here. I could have not pressed for the takedown right here. I could have just stayed long. I could have circled a little bit more, being more calculated with my approach as opposed to, like, it wasn't the output. The output was something I do on the regular. I got video footage of it. I don't need to prove that to nobody. The guys who are closest to me, they know what I could do. UFC Countdown team, they know what I can do. And this is weeks out before the fight. Again, I could have been more calculated with my energy level that I had. And all everything's experience. I do feel like God looked down and said, like, and I'm not trying to get spiritual or anything, but it does feel like I got a second chance to redeem myself and really show, like, I put in a ton of work. And I don't think I got to show what I can really do in this one fight. I mean, we've seen all the other ones. One hiccup, one off night, and people just write you off and act like you got here by accident. So I do feel like God's given me an opportunity to right the ship. And again, it's a fist fight. Anything can happen. But I do feel like I got an opportunity, a second chance at life in so to speak, in terms of this title fight, you know. So I am very, very excited about getting the opportunity and just doing it a much better way and really showing, like, this guy is not in my level. That him taking punches to try to tire you out is the stupidest thing you can possibly do, especially with a guy who has just as good of a gas tank, if not better. And he couldn't get me out of there because he was getting tired himself. And when you're in there staring at another man in his face and you're seeing through his soul and he's hitting you as hard as he can hit you and you're not going anywhere, you come back forward and you see his eyes light up. I'm telling you, it's a different feeling when you're in there, man. And that's it. That's why I get the confidence. That's why I have the confidence that I have still. It would have been like, damn, man, I don't know there's much I can really do to win this fight. It's not even close to like that. So that's what gives me confidence, which makes me feel good about everything. Do you admit that Jan's takedowns was good? I said it was solid. I don't think it's like anything special. I think it's basic, very basic. And normally I get guys down even with their most basic stuff. So it is what it is. MMA is the only sport that celebrates cheaters. John Jones and Anderson Silva, PD Jan. We're in a very interesting sport. Did you ever use magic spoon? Please answer. What the hell is a magic spoon? What is that? I want to see Aldo versus Cruz so bad. I would love to see that fight. I do hope to see maybe Merab against one of those big names, former champions. He called for it, and I do think he deserves the opportunity. Six fights in a row. I don't know what else he needs to do, you know. So I do think he should get someone within that top 10 or even that top 5, and I think it's going to be a good time for him. Hey, bro, what do you think about Tafan? Honestly, I can't remember how his last fight went, so it's hard for me to really gauge that. I got to go back and watch his other fight to really see how good he is, and then I could go from there. PD Jan will never beat you. What do you think of his judo sweeps? Decent, but I do think the judo sweeps are easier when the floor is slick. Literally kicked my foot out, and I felt like a sack of potatoes, which, like I said, never happens. So, Merab is a judo black belt, and he hits beautiful throws. And Merab has tossed me feet overhead before, literally on top of my head where I had a stinger. And I had to be like, yeah, I need a little break after this round because the way my neck set up and how you just threw me on my head, that didn't feel too good. You know, so when I look at that and I compare Merab's foot sweeps and stuff that he does, his uchimatas, it's not the same. It's really not the same. Will this stream stay up afterwards? This stream will stay up 100%. Any other questions? Edgar should retire. Edgar versus Merab would be a fun fight. Aljo, you got the magic spoon. It's nutritional cereal, among other things, that keeps you feeling good and healthy. Could be great on your off time to eat something good, but not bad for you. I don't know what the magic spoon means. I can't really tell if you're being sarcastic or not. Aljo is an animal, the undisputed champion of the world. Can't disrespect that. Thanks. That was great pacing you had in the fight. Look, championship caliber. Do you think you can keep that pace? Yes, I do think I could keep that pace. Not in that fight, per se. Like I said, I even told Ray in the third round, it's like, bro, I'm tired. And again, I don't get tired like that. Even the Pedro Munhoz fight, probably the same output, if not more. And I did fine. Again, food is a real thing. You go in there. That's why I said that one thing about that PFL fight, the one guy who fought during Ramadan. I'm like, I understand after the fast, you could break the fast and then you could eat, but it's still like, damn, like you go the whole day without eating and then you eat just at night before the fight. I think it's good, but at least he has some type of energy going into the fight. It's just still like, it's still impressive, so to speak, you know, to be able to do that. I don't really want to talk about the PD Jan fight anymore. Is there any other questions you guys want to talk about? We could talk about TJ and his fake cut. I'm joking. Kidding. Even before he got caught, I hope you crush him. I do think TJ was cheating way before that. I do think he started cheating after the John Dodson fight when he got knocked out on the Tough Ultimate Fighter finale. I do think after that, when he went on that incredible run, I do think it's because he was on the EPO and the other stuff, because that's just what I heard through the grapevine. Cheaters always gonna cheat. I wouldn't be surprised if he's cheating right now. Aljo, I'm making a video like a thriller of all reaction, Big John's, and responses to anything you want included specifically. Yeah, you could get Big John talking shit and call me an actor, even though the guy's, did the guy ever fight? Does he know what it's like to get hit? Oh, yeah, big hashtag ass beat BJM. Shut the hell up. Okay, can you give me a shout out on a good promo for me? Smacked by the Mac. What up? Yeah, he fought Brown and after he was juiced. I think he was juiced before that. Cody Garbrandt called him out on that, and the media never even like asked him about it. They just kind of, he just said, yeah, sure. I showed you guys how to do it. Like a little freaking 6-year-old. Yeah, sure. I showed you guys how to do it. And they never said anything. And I'm like, the guy's openly telling you that this guy has teaching guys in his gym how to cheat, and you guys don't ask him that question in the press conference right before the fight, and then the guy gets popped when he's fighting Henry Cejudo and then tries to say it was just for that fight. No, bullshit, where the smoke, there's fire. No, I would not fight Merab. I just did a whole thing talking about that. Do you think training 2 times a day is too much for a beginner fighter? No, I do not. I do encourage 3, sometimes 4. And when I say 3 or 4, I don't mean hard, crazy classes. I mean technical drilling, taking classes and learning techniques, drilling, reinforcing it, putting yourselves in those situations that you drilled for the day and then working through it in a live situation at a controlled pace where it's like your partner's going 50-75%, so you can try to make it work and you can see like, ah, if I turn my body this way, this doesn't work, but if I turn my body this way, it works. I have more success when I do this. And that's how you learn and that's how you get better. And I think that's the way you become a true mixed martial artist, when you're a student of the game. Do I want to fight TJ? I would love to fight him at some point, especially to shut him up for some of the smack talk that he was giving. Alga, it's Alja. Good stream, Alja. We finally need the reason. We finally know the reason you lost. It was 2 pancakes and the egg's fault. Yeah, it was 2 pancakes and the egg's fault. You're hilarious. Who do you think will win, TJ versus Corey? I think Corey's going to win. I do think TJ stopped training at that gym for a specific reason. I do think he probably saw Corey Sandhagen as a threat. And fortunately for me, I think no matter what happens in the next few years, Corey Sandhagen is going to always be good, but the amount of time he's going to have to put into grappling in order to catch up to something, someone like me who's a specialist in BJJ, I think he's going to always struggle. And I think the physical difference between the two of us, I think we both just have this different kind of physicality where he's long-rangey, dangerous, explosive, dynamic. I'm all those things where he might have the edge in cardio because that's what people might just think because he's not as muscular, even though I do think I like to pride myself on my cardio outside of the Petey Yan and Corey and Brian Caraway fight. I do think he's going to always have trouble with guys who are physically physically more imposing than he is. Because I legit grabbed him and I just threw him by and I felt like, I was like, yo, this guy has nothing for me in terms of power. You know, obviously he's long, he's rangy, he could touch you up from a distance and really tattoo you because he's that skilled. But when it comes to grappling, I think he's going to always struggle in that department. He's going to have to rely on scrambling and tricks because of his length coming down from such a tall, skinny weight class. And you're not going to be able to carry over that strength, but he's always going to have the strength of leverage on his side. And leverage is just height, where he sprawls and how long he is. It's going to be tough to get around that corner because of how long he is, especially if he goes wide defense and he always faces up with you. That's where it's going to be difficult to fight a guy like Corey Sandhagen. I do think he's going to win that fight against TJ Dillashaw. Didn't Brian, yeah, Caraway, I think he got arrested for some shit, man. That guy, I don't know. I see him around here in Vegas from time to time. No animosity or anything like that, but it's just, I don't know. He's a big dude now, man. I don't know if he's planning on fighting again or whatever, but we'll see. You will be able to watch this later. I think we got enough questions. We're 43 minutes in, so I think we should probably wrap this up. If you guys want any of these shirts, I got some new ones made. Like I said, it's a brand new company, Athlete Studio. They do a great job with the quality, and I'm actually really impressed with this. All the logos and lettering, when I stretch it, it still holds the form, which is all I want, quality, you know. So I hate attaching my name to stuff that are shitty. So if you guys have ordered stuff in the past, I'm sorry if it wasn't that great. This out a little bit out of my control. But now I'm working with a much better team, and I thank these guys for really making sure that the quality is stepped up. Again, thank you guys for always tuning in. And if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit, son. And I'll see you guys later. Or spinning backfist, baby. Peace.
That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.